Welcome to Inside Out, The Naked Truth, where we explore everyday issues to discover their core truth so that we may understand them, open our hearts, add a little more fun to our lives, and see it all from another perspective.
Tonight's show is coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Los Gatos Hills of California, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked.
I am Rochelle Alicia Strider.
And I am Errol Strider. And together we will explore all these truths, if I can put that in quotes. We're going to use humor and a little conversation, maybe some poetry. Definitely going to use a skit tonight and some very poignant music that I think will enhance our theme.
Tonight's show is brought to you by Go Raw, 100% natural organic raw food that not only tastes good, but is good for you.
Good for you. And you can find Go Raw at Whole Foods and Trader Joe's and the organic section of Costco, among other places. Go to Go Raw. Go Raw Products Online.com. Go Raw.com. Hi, dear.
Hi, sweetheart. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty well under the circumstances. I'm on this very tiny planet way out in space, spinning around. You know, I don't know what's holding it up. It makes me nervous.
Our will, probably.
I don't know why they all don't fall
down. A desire not to fall off.
Fall down and crash all the planets and the stars. Wouldn't that be funny if they all just kind of like, boom, they all
drop? I don't
drop.
Think that would be funny at all. It'd be cataclysmic. There are some things I can laugh at, but not that one exactly. Tonight's show is called
On Hold.
On Hold.
And it's based upon a piece from our repertoire that we performed for many years, On Hold. Actually, I think it was originally inspired by some work we did at the Unity Church in Marin County.
Okay.
So, anyway.
Well, let me introduce it.
You got something to say about it?
Yeah,
huh?
I have something to say about it. Okay, so listen to this. Meditate 30 minutes. I don't have 30 minutes to spare. I have things to do. Wash the car, clean the house, pick up kids, take them to classes, shop, work, and more work. Honey, I'm so tired. If I try to meditate, I'd fall asleep. I need to sleep. Who cares if that 30 minutes may make everything I have to do more efficient, less stressful? I have to prioritize. I'm the container that takes in what I need to give forth. I'm the soil in which seeds are planted. I need nurturing to function well. I need to be seen to function well. I need to be appreciated to function well. Do I close the door to receiving all that I need? Do I close the door to receiving all that I need? Do I allow myself to know I am wonder-filled? What would happen if I knew? If I really knew exactly who I am, not known by what I do or have, but what I am, a chip off the old block, a creative creature designed in the image of the master creator, I am the light of love and life. And I can spare a few minutes of my infinite adventure to remember and acknowledge who I am. Prioritize.
I've seen the fat person.
Inspired because to play that Van Morrison song, Dweller on the Threshold, because you sounded like a dweller on the threshold. The sound that you just heard was Rochelle vainly attempting to kill a fly, which unfortunately was resting on the top of my head. So what she was able to do was slam me side of the head and remind me that we are Inside Out, the Naked Truth, broadcasting live from Lupin Lodge here. And tonight we're doing on hold, so I suggest we get right to the piece.
Okay.
I played this character who's going to come in, and Rochelle, should we tell him who you're playing or let it be a surprise?
Oh, no, I love this character. I play God.
Okay.
I get to play God. Okay. I get to play who I really am.
And I play a character who, well, let's just say he's a little consternated, which is, I guess, a word I made up, but it does the job. So without further ado, let's take a little lead into to On Hold. I'm just so disturbed. There's so many terrible things happening in my life. You know, my wife is suing me for a divorce. You know what that's going to mean to my financial situation? And things are so precarious. And then they throw in the climate change. Oh my God. And what does that mean? We're all going to have to move and California's going to be, what, Colorado? And then my kids, I tell you, my kids are driving me nuts. I mean, the affairs of the world, how can anybody live and have a sane mind? It's just so frustrating. You can't get anything done. You can't depend upon people. It's like, and I look at myself and I don't see anything to like, and it's just so, I don't know what to do. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Okay. All right. Okay. I'm going to call God. That's right. I'm going to call God and, see if I can get some help. So, let's give that a try. Oh, by the way, God, wait a minute. No wonder I didn't know what to do. I don't know God's number. What is his number? Oh, I remember. It's number one.
Hello.
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 Hello, is God in?
God is always in.
I mean, like, is God in now?
God is always in now.
Uh-huh. Well, who's this?
This is God.
God, like the real God. I didn't think you'd, well, sound like that. But, oh, God, I'm calling you because I am so twisted inside and so disturbed about my life and what's going on, and you know, it's just terrible what's happening, and so I was hoping maybe you could help me.
Yes.
Just a minute, God. I've got a caller on the line. Let me take it. Hello? Yes, who's this? Distractions. Aha. Uh-huh. Well, yeah, what do you got? Oh, yeah, I watched the nightly news. Yeah, it was a terrible thing that was happening over in, like, the Midwest and the way this thing's coming down. And, oh, have you talked to Marjorie lately? You know, she and her husband are breaking up. This is what I've heard. Yeah, they're breaking up after all these years. Can you believe that? Oh, yeah, I better check out my bank account. Yeah, that's fine. What is that pain I feel in my right side? Just a minute. I'll get back to you. I'm talking to God now, okay? Oh, hello, God. You there?
Of course I'm there.
Oh, that's so great. Listen, where was I? Oh, yeah, the terrible things that are happening and my confusion. And, well, quite frankly, I'm not sure I believe that this is really you or if I'm making this up or... Wait... Just a minute, God. I got another call. I'll just put you on hold. Hold on. Hello? Who's this? Aha. Uh-huh. Excuses. Oh, hi. Well, yeah. Yeah, it is too late. Uh-huh. I'm tired. Huh. Pretty damn expensive. Yeah, well, I think I'm just too old for that. And, you know, you can never know. You know, you try and try and try. You know, people are not going to change. And it's just way too hot. A guy said it the other day, it's too hot to have humor. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, there's just too many, and people... boy, I'm running out of excuses. Do you have any excuses? No. Never mind. God. Hello, I'm back. Hi.
Hi.
And so what I was wondering is... If there's a way I could maybe get some help through and navigate my way through all this stuff. Oh, and wait a minute. What was that? Hold on. Oh. Just a minute. I got another. Hello? Who's this? Oh, denial. Oh, right. Yeah. It's no big deal. Hey, you know, what is climate change? You know, centuries things have changed. What's climate change? How can that be a big deal? And no. I'm not upset about the business laws. No, you know, you just go with it. You know, I've learned to go with the flow. Oh, yeah, you know. No, I'm sure she's just, you know, it's a temporary illness. Yeah, pretty much. This is sort of like, well, God.
I'm still here.
Oh, thank God. I mean.
You're welcome.
Right. and so what's so disturbing me is that... you know, I just don't seem to be able to grab. Oh. Just. Hold on, God. Let me get this. Hello? Yeah, who's this? Doubt. Uh-huh. Yeah. Of course. Yeah, how could that be God? You can't call God. No, what do you think? Yeah, your life is a bunch of problems and then you die. I mean, let's face it. And I don't think she's ever going to change. Or I certainly don't think I can change. I mean, this is the me that is so far. Not such a great me, but I don't know. God, I'm just, well, I don't know what to do. I'm so lost.
Why don't you say three things for me?
What's that?
Why don't you say three things for me?
Three things? What? What three
things? Just say, I'm okay.
Huh?
I'm okay. Just say it.
But
say it.
Okay.
Say it.
I'm okay.
Now say, everything's all right.
Everything's all right. Okay.
I get to decide.
Say, what's that?
Say, I get to decide.
I get to decide?
Yes, same again. I'm okay.
Well,
I'm okay.
I'm okay.
Everything's all right.
Everything's all right.
I get to decide.
I get to decide. Everything's all right. I get to decide. I'm okay. Everything's all right. Huh. I get to decide. Wow.
Come to problems that upset you. Don't you know everything's all right? Yes, everything's fine. And we want you to sleep well tonight. Let the world turn without you tonight. If we try, we'll get by, so forget all about us tonight.
Everything's all right, yes, everything's all right, yes.
Sleep and I shall soothe you, calm you, and anoint you for your hot forehead. Then you'll feel everything's all right, yes, everything's fine. And it's cool and the ointment sweet for the fire in your head and feet. Close your eyes and relax. Think of nothing tonight.
Yes, everything's all right.
Hey, woman, you buy an ointment brand new and expensive. Should have been saved for the poor. Why has it been wasted? We could have raised maybe 300 silver pieces or more. People who are hungry, people who are starving, they matter more than your feet and hair.
Try not to get worried, try not to turn on to problems that upset you. Don't you know everything's all right? Yes, everything's all right, yes.
Surely you're not saying we have the resources to save the poor from their lot. There will be poor always, pathetically struggling. Look at the good things you've got. Think while you still have me, move while you still see me. You'll be lost and you'll be sorry when I'm gone.
Sleep and I shall soothe you, calm you, and anoint you for your hot forehead. Then you feel everything's all right, yes, everything's fine. And it's cool and the ointment sweet for the fire in your head and feet. Close your eyes and relax, think of nothing tonight. Close your eyes, close your eyes and relax. Close your eyes, close your eyes.
and relax. Close your eyes, close your eyes and relax.
From Jesus Christ Superstar, Everything's All Right. Jesus Christ Superstar being the musical, written by, my mind just completely went blank.
Yeah,
that guy.
My mind went blank too.
After you've lived together as long as Rochelle and I, you can train your minds to go blank simultaneously.
At the same time. That's what love is all about. Having your mind go blank at the same time. What was the name of the Van Morrison song that you played?
Dweller in the Darkness.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, wasn't that cool? So let's get back to our theme. First of all, this is Insight Out, the Naked Truth. And you can call us. We'd love to hear from you and see how you're doing in this struggle to work through our humanhood and come to that place where we realize I'm fine, everything's all right. But why? I get to decide. You can call in. Maybe you can decide to call in right now. That would be great. 888. Come on, make a decision. 627-6008. And we hope you'll challenge the premise. And let's talk about the premise.
Well, what happened to me when I was listening to the piece, even though I was doing the piece, I was still listening to it. I realized that it's a lot of power to realize I can decide how I perceive life. And to perceive it is okay and all right and everything's fine. Because the truth is I'm always perceiving life, but depending on so many different circumstances in my life, I may perceive it as always a big mess, like the poor man who did that piece.
That poor schlep.
That poor schlep felt. I mean, that everything is closing in
so
on you.
It's so easy for me to play that part.
Yeah, but it's like you can walk around and see that hanging over people's heads, you know, like you can feel it. You can feel there's a weight on people, like having to do this, having to get it done, having to work harder and harder and harder to keep up, to maintain all the things you have to maintain. And you can feel it's like a wear and tear on people's bodies because they don't always want to be doing that. And it's not what you do so much, but to realize you're okay and everything's all right and that you can decide that. Even no matter what you do, it has nothing to do with what you do, but you bring to what you do a totally different attitude. And it changes what you do and may even change how you do it or everything when you change your attitude, when you see yourself as like, okay.
But let me ask you this. Which are your favorites? You like distractions? Would you prefer excuses? How about denial? You know, that's a very rich choice, denial. And, of course, doubt is always kind of like your default place.
Well, there's so many different ways to look at all that. I mean, we look at something that's big and scary, and we want it to go away. We would like to be distracted by it. We would like to have excuses for it. We would like to be in denial about it.
We would?
Yes, because it's scary. You know, like we want to get rid of it. So we use many things to get rid of it. The thing is that how do we confront that which is scary in such a way that it truly dissolves? So that the sense of like, I get to decide how I'm looking at this big scary beast, which is life, you know, wanting to eat me alive. Or do I get to decide that life is an adventure and I'm an adventurer and I'm on this path with it. And then becomes a different thing. Then I don't have to deny it. I don't have to have excuses for it. I just enter into it and have a good time.
For me, it's about having a different vantage point. In other words, we can spend our life looking at life from the vantage point of separation. We talk about this a lot, that it's over there, and it's either desirable, if it runs on the continuum from being highly desirable to being
undesirable.
Very undesirable, very painful. And so we're constantly going back and forth and judging and orienting ourselves to that. But what I hear that the great teaching, the great teachers, our teacher certainly is suggesting is that when we come from a place of self-awareness, of not only self-awareness, but awareness of how we are an integral part of all that is, and there's really no separation in all that is, and that we are just as much a source of our reality as anything. It's interesting hearing that song from Jesus Christ Superstar, and there Yeshua was. We like to refer to him as Yeshua, which is probably closer to what he was called when he walked the earth. And he was confronting a situation. Now, someone may say, well, when he was crucified and all that, it certainly wasn't all right and it wasn't okay. But within all that, I am convinced that he knew he could decide how to experience it and embrace it.
Yeah, that's the part that makes it more clear than anything else, that we get to decide how to interact with whatever is going on in our lives, that we decide whether or not we're going to be, engulfed by this experience, that we're going to be taken over by this experience, we're going to be less as a result of this experience, or that we're going to be more as a result of this experience. I mean, even if it's painful, and certainly a crucifixion, I wouldn't want that to happen to me. It's very painful, but to become more, to ascend as a result of that experience, to ascend. I mean, and for a lot of people, this is probably just a metaphor, and it may be just a metaphor, but it's a very good metaphor to realize how we can even overcome the fear of death. Not death itself, the way we know it. I mean, that this personality is not going to exist anymore as I know the personality, but the fear of it doesn't have to exist, when you're old anyway. I mean, you might want to get frightened when you're 20 because you got so much life in front of you, but even then I got a friend who had a little brother who was born with a heart problem. I don't know exactly what it was, but you encountered this little boy. When we encountered this little boy, he was always in joy. It was always a smile on his little face, and he was so frail. And you'd look at him, and you just were enveloped by something angelic about him. And I always felt that he was embracing whatever was in front of him. There was no, he had no resistance to it. He was just, and he died, like 9 years old, I think he was. And it was sad for all of us, and yet we all felt we had been touched by something very special as a result of his being on this planet for that very short time. So maybe he knew that he got to decide that everything was okay.
Well, what gets in my way, and I think gets in a lot of people's way, is how we just get so lost in our minds, and we can just live in there and go unconscious.
Put your dreams away for now. I won't see you for some time. I am lost in my mind. I get lost in my mind. Mama once told me, you're already home where you feel love. I am lost in my mind. I get lost in my mind. Is older than me. But oh, my brother, don't you worry about me. Don't you worry, don't you worry, don't worry about me. Tell me my
Can't you tell me, my brother? Is there a start?
Lost in My Mind from the Head and Heart. That's the name of the group, Lost in My Mind. I think that says a lot. We can start moving forward. I think that's what the decision is. We don't have to, don't worry, don't you worry. I like these lyrics. I am lost in my mind. I get lost in my mind. Boy, I do. And it just, it's what they call it. Someone used the term today that I had heard. Using well, the monkey mind, busy, doing this, doing that, or thinking that, or that. Talk about distractions. I mean, there's this constant activity, and almost all of it in reference to the world. That is why it is really behoove us. I like that word. It will behoove us to step aside from all the stuff that goes on in the mind and drop into that place where we can really ponder. What enables me to decide that I'm okay if I don't feel like I'm okay and everything's all right when it doesn't look like it's going to be all right?
I think it's interesting that we look out of eyes and see a world from those eyes. And those eyes are like wearing certain kinds of glasses. You know, the glasses of despair, the glasses of betrayal, the glasses of all the things that happened to us as children. And then everything is colored. Our vision is colored through those glasses, and that's the way we see the world. And then we see ourselves. So the glasses look back inside, and we see ourselves that way too. And when I think it was Gangaji, a satsang that we might have attended many years ago, who used the expression, well, who is this person who's having these experiences? Was that true? She'd say, well, who is this person who's having those experiences?
Yes, yes.
And the realization that these experiences, you're having these experiences, but it's not you. I mean, you are more than those experiences. You are someone who can have those experiences. But also, and this is not about denial, but it's a step back. And it's like these experiences have happened to you. And at the same time, and it takes a while, it takes a lot of awareness to move from these experiences and identification with them to the realization that you are more than these experiences. I'm going to kill this fly.
So let me ask you this. Are you more than the experience of the person who wants to kill the fly?
Yes, I am. I'm definitely more than the person who wants to kill the fly. The person who wants to kill the fly is just annoyed by it. It's just constantly, and it bites. These flies bite. That's the part I don't like about it. I wouldn't mind so much that they buzz around my head, which they do, but they bite, and their bites are very uncomfortable. They stay with you a long time. So there's the reality, you know, of the world. Now, am I okay and am I all right and do I get to decide when a fly is buzzing around me, driving me crazy and biting me? Yes, I believe I am okay and everything is all right and I get to decide even though that fly is buzzing around me and I become a killer. I would use a fly swatter and kill this fly. I'm just as bad as any killer on the planet. I have to admit it. I have to confess. Speaking of, I am.
She's the killer. There she is, my little 4'11", almost, on a big, tall, stretchy day, spouse. Out after that fly. We see her at night, you know, prowling around the neighborhood, looking.
With her fly swatter.
With her fly swatter. We live in the woods, as we may have mentioned to you. And are you going to call in? Are you going to make us beg? No.
That's okay. We're good at begging. Yeah, yeah. We don't mind begging. Yeah.
It's very humbling. But I want to share just a little taste of something about experience and growth. It's from the book Keys of Yeshua. This is one of the keys. And I was just listening to this. I recorded these for myself mostly to listen to and be reminded. But this particular chapter on experience and growth, and I'm just going to play a little bit, and hopefully it'll whet your appetite to want to read the book, and I'll tell you how to get it in just a minute. Here we go.
Experience and growth. Absolute or pure spirit is unmanifest. For that reason, it cannot be experienced or discerned through ordinary perceptions of awareness. Spirit is the fundamental nature of everything. Ultimately, the only thing that exists. Anything you can know or sense or experience is an emanation of spirit. The possibilities of perception are infinite. The procession of events through time give us our record of experience. As we see from this record, certain patterns are constant. In a person's youth and in the youth of one's soul, attention is focused mainly on external events. A person grows by collecting and examining the opportunities and stimulations of life. It is only natural to seek variety, adventure, pleasure, and challenge as you discover and compare the different ways for living and being. But there is a crucial moment, like the first opening of a rosebud, when experience is no longer measured or valued by the nature of external events. At that moment, the value of experience begins to be internal and subjective. Within this greater depth of consciousness, there is more interest in how to hold an event, how to value it, or whether to give it any importance at all.
Standing at the crossroads, trying to read the signs, to tell me which way I should go to find the answer. And all the time I know, plant your love and let it grow. Rest is up to to you. Count your love and let it go.
Let it grow. I mean, that's the key here. Once we can realize fully that we are on this growth journey, a chapter from the book Keys of Yeshua, Keys of, or Joshua, as it might be pronounced, by Glenda Green. And if you read that, that particular chapter is on experience and growth, and it's one of the most illuminating ways for me of understanding it. So back to our subject. First of all, a reminder that we can have you call in. You can decide to do that at 888-627-6008, and you don't have to use that silly accent when you call.
And this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth with Errol and Rochelle Sturrider, brought to you by Go Raw. And we're still here exploring all the ways that we keep ourselves from knowing true fulfillment. I mean, it seems to me that we put that relationship on hold while we explore all these other relationships that take us away from it. I mean, and to me, to get to that relationship, first and foremost, the relationship that fulfills us so much, and let everything grow out of that rather than try and get and take and become all the things that are outside of ourselves, moving further and further away from the core of who we are.
One of the distractions I just realized as you were talking that I kind of left out was our addictions. And in a way, it's like when it gets to an extreme state, our spasm. I mentioned before in the show, the great spiritual teacher Thomas Burton called the ego a spasm. And you can feel that. It's like it's caught in this tension of trying to sustain this illusory aspect of ourselves, which the mind projects out in order to survive, which is the ego self, this conjecture. But we have the opportunity to realize it at a whole other level.
Well, we have that opportunity all the time. And I wonder, and I don't want to sound like a devil's advocate, but why not?
How does the devil's advocate sound? Somehow I expect your voice to be kind of snarly.
Devil's advocate.
Right, let me hear you say that.
I'm the devil's advocate.
It's way too snarly. Okay, Mrs. Devils.
No, I guess what I'm saying is that I do believe when we're ready to move to another state of consciousness, we move there. And we can't ask, we can only speak to people at this, where we are, at the level that you're ready to hear. I mean, I can only be spoken to at the level that I'm ready to hear. If somebody came to me and started talking quantum physics, my intellectual mind, which is not quite expanded enough, let's say, to take in all that information, would probably be moving it around and bringing it back to myself and trying to understand what it was all about. And we grapple with spiritual truths that are, let's say, come from a more holistic point of view rather than a particle point of view.
I'm
very aware that the particles make up the whole, but we try not to get too involved in the particle itself, but see how the particles fit into the whole. Would you say that's true?
Yes, from the perspective of the whole. And that's that witness, that's that experiencer. Indeed, in that chapter that I was referencing, one of the things Yeshua says is the greatest experience is to be the experiencer. And as I recall, the Urantia book, which we've quoted quite a lot on this show, says it's about feeling of the experience. It's not the experience of feeling. And the highest we can have is the feeling of spiritual values. You can actually sense them as we learn to quiet the uproar of the finite activities.
Yeah, when we don't put that on hold, those experiences, those feelings of those experiences, we do experience it. To me, I'm constantly amazed and delighted by the experiences I have as I realize that every single one of them enhances my consciousness. Every one of them expands my soul. I mean, I'm using terms that may not feel comfortable for you, but translated into terms that feel good to you if you understand what I'm saying. And so all of this, everything, this all, I'm in this huge, what do you call it, when you're in a little, when you're in a pot, you know, they put the seeds in the pot and they, in the little pot, they start germinating.
Cauldron?
Like no. a germinating place.
The germinating place.
A petri dish.
Yeah, petri dish.
An incubator, something. I'm growing in there. And everything, life's experience is just being fed to me constantly so that I might grow. And I'm not unwilling, but I'm a participant in this experience. And that's the fun part, is that I get to decide
exactly
how I experience it.
That is the key to growth, and that is, it's our decisions. The Urantia book says the keys to the kingdom of heaven, or that place of where we'd really know I am all right and everything's fine. Those keys are sincerity, more sincerity, and more sincerity. And that is so profound. But it then goes on to say, and we use these keys by decisions, more decisions, and more decisions.
It's so much more.
It's the activity of decision. Busy. We're so busy.
Deciding and deciding. And sincerely deciding, yeah. Not just any decision do.
That kind of slimy, superficial, you know, hypocritical deciding, just not going to get it.
Outside the window of our studio right now, there are 1, 2, 3, 4 deer, heads down, nibbling at the grass, totally... consumed by survival. And I do not know if they are thinking any of these thoughts, probably not. And they look so content. They don't look like they have to dial 1 to find out who they are. They look like they have already dialed in and they're not going to put anything on hold.
I love that. Very nice. Very sweet. Do you know who you're listening to, folks? That was Rochelle Strider. This is her husband of a few years. And we're Insight Out, the Naked Truth, where we love delving into these issues that really are at the core of making life be what it is, and acquainting ourselves with them and understanding them, and most of all living through them
and enjoying them more than anything, because I do believe that, you know, some people are weighted down by the truths they find, and I like to be lifted up by the ones I find.
Well, here's the good news, and that is we may be lost, but we can be found. And that is the good news.
So let the lights go down, so let the fire burn.
So the lyrics are, "Hello, my friend, I remember when you were so alive with your wide eyes. Then the light that you had in your heart was stolen, and now you say that it ain't worth staying. You want to run, but you're hesitating. I'm talking to me. Don't let your light go down. Don't let your fire burn out, because somewhere somebody needs a reason to believe. So why don't you rise up now? Don't be afraid to stand out. That's how the lost get found. The lost get found.
Are you gonna take it? There's a really big world at your fingertips, and you know you have the chance to change it. There's a girl on the street, she's crying. There's a man whose faith is dying. Love is calling you.
So when you get the chance, are you going to take it? There's really a big world at your fingertips, and you know you have the chance to change it. There's a girl on the street. She's crying. There's a man whose faith is dying. Love is calling you. So why do we go with the flow? Why take an easier road? Why are we playing it safe? Love came to show us the way. Love is a chance we should take. And I am moving out of the gray.
Chance to change it.
So why don't you rise up now? Don't be afraid to stand out. That's how the lost get found. The lost get found. And that was Britt Nicole. I think that really is a wonderful call to us to stand out and know that we are in that place of choice because of who we really are, because of who authored us. Remember, the Course in Miracles talks about that. It says the way you know who you are is by understanding who authored you.
Oh, that's right. I like the line that I spoke at the very beginning. I am the light of love and life. I am the light of love and light. I am. It's like a little light, you know. I don't know where this image came from, but if somebody like, you know, having like a long wand, you know, and hitting each little thing with it, and every time the thing gets hit, it bursts into light and hits us and we burst into light. And it's like an anointing. We're anointed by the love that is the light. And if we believe that, it's a lot nicer belief than that we're dreck.
Dreck
is manure, you know, defecation, something to be thrown away.
Right.
Or, you know, in many cases, allowed to grow something like beautiful flowers.
We are the flowers. Speaking of beautiful flowers, Go Raw is made up of a lot of beautiful seeds.
Yes, it
that
is.
They use in their process. And it's not only highly nutritious, but it is delicious. And we're big fans of Go Raw. And our friend Rob, who's an integral part of that organization and the success of it. And we're about coming to an end. Let's come up with some closing remarks, Mrs. Strider. What remark do you have as a kind of a closing about the character we started with? He's nuts, he's crazy, he's frustrated, he's beside
himself.
Well,
we always said to that character, it's interesting when I get to play God, you know, I realize that I am in touch with the highest in me. And I think that everybody should play God in the every day, at least once a week, so they can get to know who they are.
That's an excellent idea. But not playing at God.
No, playing God.
Actually,
becoming God.
Becoming the character of God. And it's a very simple thing to do, really. Just have the same intention as God, who is love. You are love. We are love. And what does love want to do but to share itself infinitely? And that's why we do this show, Inside Out, The Naked Truth, every Tuesday night live from here at Lupin, which is our beautiful 110-acre resort where we live and share our lives with so many interesting and provocative people. And so we're about to take off, and we'll be back next week. And we'd love to hear from you. You can go to our website, www.thelaughingheart.org, thelaughingheart.org, if you can remember that, and or send me an email to let me know that you're alive and kicking and that you're found or you're ready to find something or someone else that makes things work better for everyone, and estrider@gmail.com. And the last thing we'd like to leave you with is...
Remember
this. Resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.